So if we remember from last Sunday, the gospel, it began in pretty much the same way, except for Jesus. Peter asked the question today, but last week Jesus made the statement, if your brother sins, what should you do? And so in that same theme today, Peter says, well, if he sins against me, how many times must I do this? How much is enough before I can say it's done? Is 7 times enough, Lord? Because 7 is a lot. And especially in the Jewish mindset and the Jewish way of thinking, 7 symbolizes completeness, perfection. So if I forgive my brother 7 times, then I've reached the limit. But what does Jesus say? Not 7, 77. That number of perfection, of completeness, times itself, times infinity is what he's saying. There's limitless, there's no limit to the forgiveness that you must offer to your brother. Then he goes on to tell this story. The story to unpack and to reveal and to show in a very dramatic way exactly what he's talking about. And he begins the story by saying the kingdom of heaven is like this. So that should alert us that this isn't just some story about a king and a servant. But there's something deeper here. And at that moment, it's when we get inserted into the story. Because I hope as we heard this story, and maybe not for the first time, that we're able to know which character in there is us. We have one servant who owes a huge amount and one who owes a much smaller amount. In some of the other translations, it tells us that the first servant owed maybe 10,000 talents, which is a measure of money, of wages, equivalent to maybe 2,000 or 3,000 years worth of wages. The much smaller amount is the equivalent to maybe 3 months. This is the discrepancy. So clearly Jesus is speaking in a hyperbole, using extreme examples to drive home the point. Because it's impossible for anyone to pay back 2,000 or 3,000 years worth of wages. So what's the point? What is he getting at? Why is Jesus telling this story? Because that servant who owed the great amount is each one of us. And it's so important for us to be reminded of that. That's why it's so important for us to each week and daily, if we can, to come and gather around the altar, to come to the holy sacrifice of the Mass. So that the action of Jesus on the hill in Calvary is made present to us each time the Mass is celebrated. Every time we come to Mass, that action of forgiving our unpayable debt is made a reality one more time. And we come face to face with our Heavenly Father, the one who is kind and merciful, slow to anger, rich in compassion. This is the Old Testament description of God. And so if you ever hear anyone talk about God in the Old Testament in any type of harsh, unloving way, it's a lie. This way, kind, merciful, slow to anger, rich in compassion, this is the most common way God is described in the Old Testament. When you count how he's described, how he is identified to us, these are the words more often than not. This is the God who created us. This is the God who sent his son to die for us. Because every time we commit a sin, we have incurred a debt that is impossible for us to pay. What did it take for the man in the gospel to be forgiven? He simply asked. He didn't have to do anything. He didn't have to pledge anything. He didn't promise anything. He simply asked. and his debt was forgiven immediately on the spot. Our minds should go to the confessional. The most grievous sin, the worst thing you can imagine, all you have to do is ask, Father, forgive me, for I have sinned. It's been 1 week, 1 month, 45 years. These are my sins. And with a contrite heart and a true desire for repentance, you hear those sweet words of absolution. I absolve you from your sins. Just like that. This is the reality that we live in, and why it's so necessary for us, every time we come to Mass, to put ourselves back in that situation so that we can never forget just what Jesus did for us. Why it's so important for us to gaze frequently upon the crucifix. Because this is what love looks like. Then as the story goes on, sadly, regrettably, how many of us cannot identify with that second half? How many of us who have tasted the sweetness of God's forgiveness and mercy in a heartbeat turn right around and act with revenge to our brothers and sisters? What did Sirach say? Wrath and anger are hateful things, yet the sinner hugs them tight. He could have used any words to describe this, but he hugs them tight. We hug things that we love. We hug things as a sign of affection. The sinner hugs anger and wrath. But it's true. It doesn't sound so nice when we hear it described that way. But how many of us are holding a grudge for something someone said to us? Just this morning, as we were around the house, or maybe last week, or last year, or maybe for some of us 30, 40, 50, 60 years ago, are we hugging on to this anger and this wrath because someone hurt us so deeply that over time it's become part of our identity? I am the person who suffered this. Each time I look in the mirror, that's what I see. I've trained myself to see myself through my wounds and not through the eyes of Jesus. We come to Mass today and every day to receive that healing mercy. It's not simply the forgiveness of our sins. It's a healing salve. That the wounds that we have been inflicted upon us, like the great physician, God heals us and sets us free. And so sometimes we need this graphic language and these hyperbolic stories to shake us so that we can have the courage to be vulnerable enough to say, Jesus, this is it. I'm done. I'm done holding on to whatever. I'm done hating my dad. I'm done hating my ex-husband. I'm done. I'm done hating the other political party or this movement. I'm done. I want to live in the freedom of a son and daughter of the Heavenly Father that St. Paul talked about, that we are in Christ, alive or dead. It doesn't matter that in our baptism we've been reborn. And each time we make ourselves present to the sacraments, that life of God is renewed and restored within us. We have no right to claim hate and wrath and anger as any part of our life. It's a lie and a tool of the enemy of our soul who wants to prevent us from living in the freedom. And the reason why we need these graphic stories and these hyperbolic tales, because oftentimes the pain that we feel is real and the wounds cut deep. If it was easy, then we wouldn't need to be reminded and commanded to forgive 77 times. We could just brush it off. But we get really hurt. People do really mean and hateful things. Yet still, we must forgive. Because Jesus said clearly, if we don't, then our Father will not forgive us. And he doesn't not forgive us out of punishment or out of wrath or anger. We simply don't have the ability to receive his mercy when we hold on to anger, when we hold on to wrath. It's an impossibility. The only way to receive his mercy is to let go. And the only way we can let go is by his grace, which is why we need to be at Mass, why we need to receive the sacraments, because it's the sacraments that give us the grace to say yes to Jesus in whatever invitation, whatever commandment he gives us, however difficult it may seem. Because when we say yes to Christ the first time, we have him with us every time. He never abandons us. He never sends us on this journey of healing alone. He's inviting you to let him take you all the way to healing. So who do you need to forgive? What grudge are you holding? What hate and anger and wrath is living somewhere in your heart? Pray right now in this moment for the Holy Spirit to set you free. Maybe this is the first time today, so you have 76 more times today that you can do it. And every day, Lord, set me free. Lord, let me live in freedom. I don't want to live like this anymore. And then pray for the person who hurt you. Whether they're alive or they're dead, pray for them. It's almost impossible to hate somebody when you pray for them daily. So pray for the grace to be set free. Pray for the person who hurt you. Pray to live in the freedom of a son and daughter of our Heavenly Father. This is why Jesus died for you, so that we can live in the truth, and then we can live in the freedom, and then those of us who've been redeemed and set free can go into the world and continue the saving message of Jesus. The world that is literally burning in hatred for one another. The world needs our witness of love, of light, and in peace. Pray for that grace to be that example, to be that witness of mercy and love and peace to the world. Amen.